recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
The opinions you love. The history you crave. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to many great podcasts, including Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Two and a Half Wrestlers, Inconclusive Breakdown, Neckbreaker, Thursday Night Destruction, The Midnight Jury, After Midnight, and of course, The Shining Wizards. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
Sid, another Impact player, come to ECW to take what I got, to take what I made. Well, there's Sid. There ain't no taking the World Heavyweight title off around my waist. You've come to the wrong place. Go someplace else, big man. The task is easier up north or down south. Taz, you're the issue at hand. Tonight, the immovable object meets the indestructible force, and we collide head to head, Taz. From day one here in ECW, from day stinking one, Taz, the franchise, the two dominant players, you will not be the World Heavyweight Champion, Taz. It is the belt that I made, and I ain't giving it up. 35 years...
Extreme Championship
Right. So what happened?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everybody else in between, your new recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, from the current to the way back, 41 minutes late, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray, and I am joined by...
the pillar of the black wrestling community, Mega Powers.
I want to thank everybody for their patience. Got a lot of people in the chat room. I had a disgusting evening.
What happened?
All right. So, long story short, you know, this is like my day off, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, in between... I have a doctor's appointment that I follow up with regularly, and then I go and get my kid, and I cook the meal and do show prep and stuff. Well, something came up last week where I have an opportunity for a job interview that I applied for about a year ago. They called me.
So it took them a year to get back to you.
Well, it's a pretty important job with one of the civil services of my city. And what happened was they called me for an interview, and they said, could you come in on Wednesday? I'm like, Wednesday's my day off. Perfect. They called me again the other day, and I'm like, listen, can you come in Thursday morning? I was like, well, I have to be in work at 10 o'clock in Manhattan. We'll come into Brooklyn, whatever. P.S. I don't have a stitch to wear for this thing. Like, I have a suit that's made for, like, the spring and the summer. It's like one of those linen suits, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So Tony Ann's like, you know what, let's go, just go get a suit. So Sunday I go get a suit. And, like, you know, I'm thinking, I didn't even want a suit. I just wanted a shirt and tie, and that's it, and a pair of slacks. This turns into a fucking suit jacket. I got to get this, that, and the third. And all of a sudden now, they're making alterations. So she says, yeah, come back Friday for the alterations. I'm like, no, Cha-Cha. I need this for Thursday morning. She goes, well, come Wednesday night, and, you know, by 8 o'clock, and we'll have it done. So, of course, my wife's like, no problem. I'll just pick it up on the way home from work. So now it's 7 o'clock. I just got done eating dinner. I'm waiting for her to get home with the suit, doing some show prep. And I text her. I was like, you know, don't forget to stop at the store and get my suit. And she's, like, in the driveway. No big deal, right? The place is only 8 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
So now I call them, and I get the guy on the phone. I'm like, hi, listen, my name is Phil. I want to come and get my suit. And they were like, no, Mr. Ray, it's not going to be done until tomorrow afternoon. I'm like, no. You guys told me tonight, 8 o'clock. I spoke to so-and-so, and she said blah, blah, blah. He goes, all right, well, they're not going to be done until 8:30, maybe even 9 o'clock. I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous. So now I have to drive to this fucking place. I have to sit there. Now, while I'm calling them on the phone, you're messaging me because now you didn't almost come on the show because you were working overtime.
Yeah.
So now I'm prepping for a show without you. Because when you told me you may not be able to come in, I was just going to do like a call-in show or an open mic session. So I'm working on that. Of course, now you're telling me you're going to be on time. While you're telling me this, I'm on the phone with these jerk-offs. And I'm like, I got to go. I'll get the suit. I need the suit for tomorrow morning. So now I got to go to this fucking place. I sit there, and he's like, no, they're not ready. You're not ready, dude. Come on, man. So my wife goes to a friend's house down the block for a birthday cake. I drop them off. The bottom line is I get out of there, and I'm like, okay, I told the guys 9:30. I get to my wife's friend's house, and they're sitting there lollygagging. Now my wife can't find her fucking keys. Now, mind you, we're 5 blocks away now. Can't find her keys. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. So now I didn't get home until like 9:28. I didn't even play all what I wanted to play. I'm all disheveled, and that's my story. So I needed this. You know what? This is a really important position. If I'm going to make a shot, I might as well look good while I'm doing it.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a pretty big deal in my world, in my line of work, I should say.
Okay.
So, you know, it was kind of an emergency. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Now I have to sit in this place. The saving grace was, though, I destroyed their bathroom. I destroyed their bathroom to the point where I can't even flush it. I bombed their bathroom just on principle. I could have held
filled it with shit.
Yeah, I could have held it in. I could have held it in, but you know what? Nope. I destroyed their fucking bathroom.
That's very mean of you, Phil.
No, it's not. No, it's not. They can suck it. You know, don't listen. The whole point of me making this purchase, dude, I paid almost $100 in alterations alone. Okay, so now I'm like. I'm sitting there, I'm like, the thing is, don't tell me it's going to be ready, and then it's not. That was the whole point of me making the actual purchase. I didn't even want the jacket, but then my wife was like, you know what, you can use this for blah, 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 and instead of that. Anyway, she's right. I can wear it to a funeral, I can wear it to a dinner, and I can wear it to this interview tomorrow. So that is my story. Here we are. It is now 9:47. And I apologize to you, my friend. I apologize to everybody who waited, and I want to thank everybody for their patience. And I even messaged AA. He's like, you know, do what you got to do. Don't worry about it. And that's pretty much it.
Well, you should be apologizing to me because that sick psychopath, Will Morgan's in the chat room yelling and screaming at me.
Why is Will Morgan yelling at you?
Exactly. I don't know why.
I don't know. So why should I apologize to you for Will Morgan?
Because he's on our network. You've done his show a few times.
I have.
And now he wants revenge because he's jealous. You know, I'm just trying to do my best to talk about wrestling from the past and give it the just due it deserves. And this guy has to come and try to ruin the party for everybody. Trying to make a name for himself in the big time. But guess what, Will Morgan? It's not happening. Not on my watch.
So what's going on with you?
Right now, life is going great. I'm enjoying life. I'm watching a lot of New Japan Pro Wrestling. I was actually watching some of the show on Access before you called in. And I'm really enjoying the presentation of the show, even though the play-by-play guy keeps screwing up the IWGP championship name. But Josh Barnett is doing pretty well. I'm liking the presentation of the show.
I did get to see it on Friday night. On Saturday night, I should say.
And what did you think?
I loved it. I loved it. They played last year's, I believe it was, Wrestle Kingdom.
I think it was like 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
2013?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I actually missed that one because I think that was the year that they had like an excessive amount of like TNA guys on the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I was just kind of like, I just like was not into that. So I just skipped it. And I never watched it. So this is actually pretty good because since I've never seen it, that match is completely fresh to me.
All right. I got some terrible feedback last week about my sound. So am I sounding all right to everybody in the chat room? I hope I am. I need to thank you also. I got a package today in the mail.
Yes.
Wifey was very happy. She said thank you.
Beautiful.
So
there's a silver lining to this day after all.
Well, yeah. I mean, I made it. That was the whole thing. I didn't murder anybody. I blew up.
You got your suit. You got your snacks.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's just. I mean. Listen, I can't. The bottom line is that I feel like I have like this obligation to our fans that they come in, they take time out of their busy lives to hang out with us for 2 hours. They really don't have to.
Yeah. I mean,
don't get me wrong. The downloads are great. We're getting a lot of big feedback from them. But this, you know, our core cool audience is mainly in the chat room most of the time. So I feel like, you know, I'm doing them an injustice. You and I could just record a show and throw it up. That's not the big deal, you know? I just feel like I you know, listen, fucking Harry's in the room, dude. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning over there. You know,
yeah. So like, and he has a kid.
Right. And I feel bad. Like, you know, I don't want to be the guy that, you know, jams everybody up, and it's not normal. I normally don't, you know.
Like you jammed up that toilet?
Like I jammed up that toilet. And, you know, no technical difficulties this time. It's all good. And we are in the cut, as they say, around the way. I don't have a lot of news and notes. I do want to get into, they announced the February card for New Japan. I had it, and I can't find it, unfortunately. Which is okay. We'll just post it on the interwebs when we get it. However, the big news going around was Monday afternoon, WWE held a press conference that next year's WrestleMania is going to be in Dallas, Texas.
That wasn't a big surprise because
Jim Ross
was talking a lot about it.
It wasn't a surprise. You know, guys, we're not taking calls, so stop with the instigating shit in the chat room. I'm too tired to take a call right now. I want to get my point across anyway.
Yeah, we don't want to hear you know, some of these people jibber jabber. They came here to hear us jibber jabber.
Exactly. The thing is though, is I was telling Double A this last night on the rant. I said, you know, I didn't really think about it until after the conference that dude, there's going to be 105,000 people there.
If they can fill it up.
Honestly, I mean, I know it's different time, but Pontiac Silverdome, 90,000 people plus. I tell you, if they can fill it, dude, 105,000 people.
Do you think they can?
I think they can. You have to understand something, dude. WrestleMania is like the Super Bowl of sports entertainment.
Yeah.
People fly from all over the planet to get that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
But will they succeed in outdoing the 93,000 fans, which it actually wasn't really 93,000 fans. It was more like 70-something fans.
Right. But, again, it has the the makings of something epic. Even though we're getting into the WrestleMania season as of Sunday, I feel like I'm already preparing for next year. Like I'm wifey and I were considering looking at hotel rooms and stuff already. You know, like it's that kind of fun. It's a major hub. It's a major area in Texas, and it's probably the center of the West. And it's like it's going to be a thing where it's, you know, it could be something huge, dude. And I'm pretty excited about it. I'm pretty excited about it.
I'll be excited about it if they have an awesome card.
With 100,000 people, dude, do you really think the card has to be over the top? That was my next question.
It does. It does.
So let's say you get a ticket to go, and the card isn't so good. You mean to tell me with 100,000 people screaming their faces off, that's not going to get you all revved up and happy that you're a wrestling fan?
No.
No, really?
If I'm going to a show with, you know, 100,000 wrestling fans going nuts, and it's the worst thing ever, I'm not going to give a shit about how many people are there.
Okay.
If I'm not having fun watching what's happening in the ring, then why would I care about 100,000 wrestling fans of all people going crazy?
Gotcha. All right.
Well, I'm a wrestling fan. I'm not a fan of the wrestling fans.
Gotcha.
I'm here for the action.
Okay.
That's what drew me in the first place.
You're entitled.
Even when I go to some of these wrestling shows that I go to, I'm not excited to see the people that are in the audience. Some of them are very strange. They're very peculiar people. I'm there for the action.
You are there for the action.
You know, if some of these fans start fighting each other, then maybe I'll enjoy that that aspect of the crowd a bit more.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess I'm showing my age. I'm old, but I'm pretty excited about it.
It's quite all right to be excited for these kind of things.
So, not a lot of other crap going on. They're casting for Tough Enough. They're bringing Tough Enough back. I can care less at this point. You know, we've heard horror stories about Bill DeMott from people that we know. people that run now successful indie feds in schools.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, dude.
I'm not a fan of PWS, so I'm not getting on their bandwagon.
I'm not getting on the bandwagon, but they're not the only guys that pissed and moan about Bill DeMott, first of all. They just
maybe they should have done a better job when they were there.
If
they really went 100%, maybe they would. You know, I wonder if those guys actually made it in the WWE, even as like, you know, like bottom of the barrel. Would they still be moaning?
I don't know. I just, those guys are talented, dude.
You know, they are talented. You know, they're able to, you know, have a fine wrestling match with other guys, but. Really, you know, at the end of the day, when did that happen to those guys? Happened a while back.
Yeah, it did.
Why bitch and moan about the past when you have a bright future ahead of you?
Yeah. All right. Wow. Sugar Shane in the room. Mr. Will I Am Morgan, Wrestling Call-In Show every Saturday night, 11 p.m.
You don't have to say that guy's name.
Sure I do. Harry, thank you. Mr. X. Pastor Siddell, what's up, my brother? Big Tone. Big Tone is in the room. Hello, Big Tone.
What's up, Big Tone?
Tank's in the room. Matt's in the room. Should we play Matt's little thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. No, maybe not. Yeah, hold on. I can play it. Come on.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Dude, everything is fucked up tonight. Like, just my whole vibe. All right. Let me see here. All right. Any more news? Do you have any news you want to talk? Anything you want to talk about before we get?
Shinsuke Nakamura got the Wrestler of the Year award
from Wrestling Observer. Yes, I did see that. So congratulations! He's one of my favorites. I told you he had the match of the night on at Wrestle Kingdom. I thought
My match of the night was
the main event, right?
Tanahashi versus Okada.
Yeah, I know.
So I completely see why you would pick Nakamura versus Ibushi. It was a fantastic match.
Yeah, did you you didn't see Raw, right?
No.
Okay.
I've only heard a few things about a man called
Oh, yeah.
Forgot what his name was.
That fucking guy. Wait a minute.
I don't remember his name.
No, but did you? You didn't see any of it, right? Right?
No, I didn't see any of Raw.
Hold on one second here.
I just remember some guy whose name I forgot was on there.
I can't believe this is happening to me right now. Like, dude, I literally just jumped on. I had to reboot and plug everything back
don't
in.
Don't worry. I could keep pretending that I don't know what his name
no,
is.
No, no. It's that guy.
Oh.
He showed up.
It's
and, Sting. Right. He showed up.
Sting.
He did. Now, did you... So, you know he showed up, right?
Mm.
And, obviously, now he'll be involved in the whole WrestleMania thing with, I'm sure, Triple H. But the main story was, and it's all over the internet, Triple H actually broke character because he freaked out a little kid at ringside. Like he screamed or something, and the kid just flipped out and started bawling. And Triple H actually broke character to console the kid.
Yeah, I heard they gave him some John Cena crap and brought him backstage.
Yeah, they gave him, like, the whole treatment.
You know, maybe, you know, interesting it's worked for this kid, but for all these indie fans and all these wrestling fans, that hasn't been working.
Yeah. What's up with Sting's fucking TNA outfit he was wearing? He looked terrible. But, again, we'll see him
Let's stop with the Sting trash talking. We have Sting in WWE.
Sting!
We've been waiting for this, like, all our lives. Here he is.
No, Phil's not slipping on this thing. Phil's just slipping, period, Mr. X. Yes, I reckon Sting will be at the Rumble, Harry, definitely. So your boy will be there. Harry's all excited. All right. So let me end you know, the news before I get into... We have Facebook questions too, right, I think?
We do?
I think so. We should.
I know you pinned up the Rumble... contest, but
yeah, we're doing a Rumble contest. If you want to contribute a prize, bring it on Sunday. If not, I got some stuff in the closet. 30 guys I picked random at a website that picked random 30 numbers. So whoever's number
30 people get in on this.
30 people got in. I felt bad because somebody got like in all the madness. Like I wish I can get this kind of feedback when we do regular threads, but we give some away and everybody jumps on a thread.
Yeah, usually when we give stuff away, nobody wants to do anything. But now the Rumble's here, and they're on it.
Right. So how I'm doing it is whatever number you pick, that's your wrestler. If he wins, you win a prize out of the gimmick closet here at the Decadome. And that should
it's gonna
be
that Santino figure you've had for all these years.
Santino, I got a couple of autographed ones. It might be Santino, it might be an autographed doll, it might be an old magazine. Could be trading cards, could be a DVD. The couple DVDs that we have a couple of ones that are wrapped up.
Hey, if it's a black guy who wins, I might give him a pork chop cash shoot interview.
Wow. All right, and so
if Will Morgan wins, I'll send him the Pork Chop Cash shoot interview, which I actually own.
Rant is having their own Rumble contest. Go to rantdmradio.com. The first ever annual Ranties is coming up this coming weekend. And what else? Coverage for the Royal Rumble will start at 6 p.m. this Sunday on the Rant. They're going to do the drawing. Myself, Mega Powers, Rage will be here in studio with us. And I think Rex is joining us, Double A's joining us, Tony C's joining us, and big things are coming, man. Big things are coming. March 1st, I will be hosting the 13th anniversary Ring of Honor pre-show here on The Rant. That starts at 7 o'clock. There's a bunch of programming. I know Double A announced it last night. They're going to have there's a Super Bowl show. Will and Surfer are hosting that. That's going to be cool. So there's no comic book show on February 1st. And we're moving right along, man. Lots of programming. There's a new Shining Wizards that's out, new Midnight Jury. I mentioned PWS before. Midnight Jury will be at the next PWS event at a table doing WrestleMania 10 as their throwback, which we'll be doing that, I think, this year too, I believe.
Yes.
And I think that's it. I don't have anything else going on. If I missed something, I apologize.
You said big things are coming?
Yeah, big things are coming, man. Scheduling, and I don't want to give too
big
much.
Big one, Elizabeth.
No, dude, I watched that today while I was show prepping. And remember I told you there was an episode where Lamont tried to beat a traffic ticket?
Yeah.
They showed it today. So I DVR'd it. So when you come over on Sunday, I have to show
they
it to
actually
you.
Have him saying the word?
He dropped it several times.
Yeah.
He tells the judge, he's like, he goes, yo, he goes, you see any N-words in here? He goes, yeah, there's more N-words in here than the Tarzan movie. And I was like, wow. Like, blatantly said it. And
there's
I'm
more
like,
niggas in here than a Tarzan movie.
That's exactly. I'm like, I said, I gotta.
He said the word. There was one time where I remember. It was the episode where Big Money Grip comes onto the scene to tell Fred that Lamont's actually his son, and there's a point where, you know, he tells Esther this, and she says something to the extent of, "What did you just say, nigga?" And I was like, "Oh my god, they were allowed to say that word back then?"
That's crazy. That's crazy.
And then it was funny because at the end of the episode, you find out that Big Money Grip was Big Money Grip accidentally slept with Esther instead of Elizabeth.
It's a big one. Great show though, and TV One has like marathons, dude. Between Nat, Martin, fucking Good Saturday Morning, dude. I watched like 7 episodes of Good Times. Okay. Dave, I couldn't get off the couch. I was like, this is crazy. I got to stop. But yeah, man, I taped it. I'm going to show it to you. We're going to watch it to get ourselves ready for the big night, big Royal Rumble. Pastor Sandell said, did you say the N-word? Yes, Pastor, he did say the N-word. I did not.
Oh, but he's quoting what Aunt Esther said in the episode.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. He said, look at that. He's blowing up your spot. He goes, Dave did it. Oh, man. All right.
Hey, these guys in the chat room got to get their panties out of a twist.
Shit.
And I'm glad that there's no Cosby Show reruns because we all know what that guy did.
No, but A Different World's been on, so I like that show.
Didn't he, like, produce that show or something?
He did.
Yeah, they need to get that show off the air, too.
You think Bill Cosby?
Anything that has that man's hands on it, it needs to be taken off the air.
You think the cause is the guilty, bro?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's women coming out of the woodwork saying what this man did. And my reason why that I know he did it was because for years, the man would always go on television and whatever crappy TV shows like the Cosby Mysteries, he would go around and tell everybody how they had to live and how they had to act and how to be. And that's a clear sign of a rapist right there.
Okay. All right. It's your opinion.
You know, people should not be putting their pudding pop where it doesn't belong. That's all I got to say.
That's all you got to say.
Especially when it's followed by a roofie culotta.
A roofie culotta. Why can I not load my questions? This is retarded. I got the Facebook page open, and I cannot fucking load the rest of the page. Can you possibly – are you on Fochbook or no?
What are you talking about?
Facebook. Are you on Facebook? Can you get all questions off the thread that was on the page or no?
Let me dig for it.
All right, if you can find it. Because my computer's not letting me load older posts, unfortunately. I don't know why, but there are a couple.
Strange, because it's a throwback Facebook group.
Yeah, you think.
You would think a man would be able to look at old posts on an old
no, yeah,
Facebook
you would,
group.
Yeah, you would think. You would think.
But no.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Anything else going on? I got that up. So, I downloaded the, speaking of WWE, I downloaded that Immortals game for my phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's Mortal Kombat meets, like, Injustice, if you're into the comic book thing with the video games. It's wrestlers dressed like superheroes. It's a pretty...
Yeah, it looks ridiculous. I want a wrestling game with wrestlers in it.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to look at. It's my kid loves it, so...
All right, I have the questions up.
Okay, Mega Powers, why don't you break it down? Because I cannot see these effing questions.
Okay, question is for David and Phil.
All right.
People who run the show. Okay. Who were a couple of your favorite ECW stars? And this is asked by Choppy.
What's up, Choppy from Shaolin Land? What were some of my favorites, huh? Obviously, tonight's throwback is two of my favorites in the main event. The Human Suplex Machine, Taz from Brooklyn, New York, and the franchise, Shane Douglas. I loved the Eliminators. Loved the Eliminators. I mentioned this a million times already, though. I was a fan of Joel Gertner, obviously. Shout out to Joel. I was a big fan of Joey Styles. But for the wrestlers, it's got to be Taz, Shane Douglas, Chris Candido, Bam Bam Bigelow, the Eliminators, Public Enemy. I loved Public Enemy. Who else did I like in ECW? There's a bunch of guys. I loved the Blue World Order, Stevie Richards, when after Stevie Richards.
So basically you loved everybody that was in that organization?
No, mainly just Taz, Shane Douglas, and the Eliminators. Those are my favorite guys.
All right.
How about you?
My favorites were Shane Douglas because he was the champ.
Okay.
I was a huge Taz fan.
Of course.
Because just the way that they hyped up this dude, it was like nowadays, like, for me, it's kind of hard to watch ECW these days just because, granted, a lot of these guys went on to just do things because, hey, you know, they want to make this a living for themselves and, you know, things aren't always going to turn out the way it was in ECW. But when these guys originally were out on ECW, the way that they were hyped was just like so unique. Like it was absolutely believable. Everything that they were throwing at you made sense. And regardless of Taz's height or, you know, stature or whatever the guy's skill level was, he was the man. Everything that that guy said was as serious as a heart attack. And, you know, even when he hit people with the Kata Hajime, the Taz mission, and even though it like was very clear that he didn't have it completely locked on a guy, I still believed that he was choking the shit out of the guys that he was fighting.
Paul Heyman, I think his greatest creation, honestly, and I'll probably get a lot of shit for this, because he's made a lot of guys, and he's revamped a lot of guys, but I think the greatest transition was Taz.
Yeah.
He had a caveman gimmick, comes back with this shooter hybrid, I guess, mixed martial arts guy that just submit like a submission guy, you know? But legit, Taz has a background, and we'll talk about it during the throwback, but Taz's got a martial arts background and shit like that. So, you know, but yeah, no joke, man. It's, he was my favorite, and I marked out for him so, and his music, I mean, he originally had War Machine by Kiss.
Yeah.
And then he had, you know, his own, hold on one second here. All right, Matt's sending me clips, but I can't open them because I,
because we're doing a show.
Right. So, but thank you, and I'm going to thank you, Matt. All right. So let's preview this weekend's Royal Rumble.
I thought you wanted to do more questions.
All right. We have more questions. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mega Powers.
Elizabeth is asking our opinion on the Jackal, ECW Cyrus.
Cyrus the Virus.
Yeah. Personally, I was not a fan of his, because when they were on TNN and they were, you know, trying to make him come off as a, you know, an executive of TNN, like, for me, like, that wasn't believable, you know, for all the stuff that ECW was throwing at us that was very entertaining and story-wise was just, like, compelling regardless of who the talent was. That was, like, the one thing that stuck in my craw that I just, you know, I just didn't believe. I wasn't into him at all. Even when he went to WWE, still wasn't swayed by the guy. It was very, you know, for all the believable stuff that was going on, he was clearly not believable to me.
Wasn't a fan. He was with the Truth Commission, wasn't he?
Yeah.
WWF, right? All right, okay. I wasn't a big fan of his either. Any more questions?
Let's see. Just a bunch of people talking. Something about James Bond and vagina. Okay, I think this is a real question. I'm going to watch this. Oh, wait, I already answered this question for Harry. He wanted to know, you know, what was edited out of this network version. It was really just the music. That was really about it.
What was it? What was Harry's question?
What was edited out of the out of the pay-per-view, guilty as charged?
Oh, just and, the, really and you just answered the, just the music, right? Yeah.
Because believe it or not, they actually kept like the F word.
Yep.
In the network version, which I was surprised.
Yep.
But it's in there.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
I thought Baza had a question about the Rumble.
Let me take a look.
I think. I can't see it, but I remember him specifically asking me, or us, what was the most surprising something. I guess something with the entries in the Royal Rumble. Who's the most...
Nah, that's not in here.
Well, we should bring it up anyway. What was your favorite surprise entry? Do you remember?
My favorite surprise entry? Diesel.
Back
when
in
Kevin Nash returned as Diesel.
2011?
Yeah. Because that was not like... I think there was like I think there were people spoiling it, but it was just kind of like one of those things that just kind of seemed like I wasn't expecting him to come out as Diesel.
Couple come to mind, John Cena coming back in the Garden 2008. When Beth Phoenix came in, remember that? And she threw out Kali and she kissed him or whatever it was. Remember that?
No, like I don't.
2010.
Probably didn't even watch that one.
Yeah, well, China was the first one woman to get into the Royal Rumble. But Beth Phoenix got in, and she eliminated the Great Khali by kissing him and then tossing him over the top rope.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then there was, I think Mick Foley came in, in 04 when he had the beef with Randy Orton, when Randy Orton was doing the whole Legend Killer thing.
Mm-hmm.
So other than that, really nothing surprising. I mean, they had like the gimmick ones, like Honky Tonk Man and shit like that. But other than that, nothing really, you know, nothing really eye-opening, I guess. But anyway, anything else, Mega Powers?
That's all I have.
You want to preview this weekend's Royal Rumble?
Well, aren't we going to do that on Sunday?
Well, we can give our predictions. I mean,
Roman Reigns.
All right.
I hate to sound like completely like.
You know what? You know what? We won't. How about we just announce the card and we won't give our predictions till Sunday? How about that?
All right.
So obviously your main event is the Royal Rumble, but your title match is now a three-way dance: Brock Lesnar versus Cena versus Seth Rollins. Let's see, the Usos versus the Miz and Mizdow for the tag straps. Paige and Natalya versus the Bellas. Nobody cares. The New Day versus Cesaro Kid and Adam Rose.
Wow, it seems like this whole pay-per-view I don't care about.
Well, that's going to be the kickoff match. Again, nobody cares. Now, this is interesting. New Day Ascension have been getting a lot of heat lately.
They're going against the New Age Outlaws.
Yeah. And you know what? This, for me, and I'll speak about it more on Sunday, but I think this is going to be the night where these guys are going to step in and take the role of badass.
They better, because they talked a lot of shit, and there's all these rumors going around that Vince is ready to bury them. And frankly, if you're bringing these guys already, like, they haven't been out of NXT for what? Like, it's been less than a month?
Yeah.
You know, put these guys over. Have them do something. There's, like, hardly any fucking tag teams.
Absolutely. And I feel like, you know, with them... On Raw, you didn't see Raw, but you know, they had an altercation with the Outsiders and APA and New Age Outlaws. So, like, I feel like they're setting them up for better things, you know. And if the Outlaws, who are a good team, are going to step in and do the right thing and put them over, good for them. I mean, if management feel that these guys are good enough for the veteran teams to put them over, then that's cool in the gang. Somebody's saying it should have been the APA. No, shouldn't have been the APA. Ron Simmons and Bradshaw are in no shape to wrestle anymore.
No.
So I'm hearing the Dudleys might be coming in as surprise entries. That would, I guess that'd be okay. I thought
they were part of TNA.
They're not. They're not under contract.
Oh.
And they're in Philly, so it makes perfect sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would be if they're going to do it, Philly would be the perfect place to do it. So.
I would hope so. It would be a nice payday for those guys.
All right. So that's pretty much it. I have no other news and notes. You got. If you want to talk about something else before we take a quick break, and then we'll go into our throwback of the evening. It's been a shit show overnight. Do you have anything else? Oh, no.
Well, we have a packed house.
We do.
I think we're doing a great job so far.
I think so, too. I'm not talking about the show. I'm talking about just my night in general was not. I mean, after 6 o'clock, everything just fell apart.
Hey, man, it's time to flip around and call it a Groundhog Day and start over again.
I'm trying to right now, my brother. All right, ladies and gentlemen, no spots tonight. I'm going to play you a clip of a card I was actually at right before this happened in Queens. Shane Douglas, this is 1999. Shane Douglas calling out Taz. This leads into Taz's promo. I play a little bit of Shane Douglas's in the beginning. And what about the Harlem Heat reunion? Yeah, their reunion. They're getting into the other formal match in Booker T's promotion. But again, Stevie Ray can't fight, so it's like, who cares? Stevie Ray is not even in any kind of shape to fight.
Well, he's a fruit booty, so
he is a fruit booty. He is a fruit booty. So let me play these promos real quick, and you guys hang out with us. Really appreciate you hanging out with us tonight. Really, really appreciate it with the packed house tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We are live on The Rant. We are a Shining Wizards Network production, and we'll be right back.
But Francine, we told them so. Sabu would not make it to January 10th. Guilty as charged. All right, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of being a goddamn suit in this business. Consistently, I have been the greatest world champion in this business, in this sport, in the last 5 years. On my back, and I brought it back to life, not only by being the greatest wrestler in this sport, but also by having a plan every goddamn time I walk the aisle. I told ECW Sabu would not make it to the 10th, and I enlisted the help of your hometown boy, Taz. I told him he do the price, I pay the price. I want Taz out here now because I got a whole lot of stuff I want to give Taz for taking that startup freak off my ass for the 10th. I want Taz! I want Taz! I want Taz! I want Taz! I got one hell of a lot of cash. I got a dress full of cash. I got this that kicks a lot of ass, Taz. You name your price. Any of it, all of it, it's yours.
First of all, Shane, I don't need your money, brother. And as far as your rack, there are a dime a dozen off 42nd Street, so take the powder, honey. Hey, Douglas, and most of all, I don't need to be a part of this because this is dead, brother. I did the heist. You're fixing to pay the price. And I'm going to tell everybody in my hometown the price right now. And I wouldn't pick a better building than Brooklyn born, Brooklyn bred, January 10th, duty in charge. You and me for the belt, brother. You and me. Shut that music. One more thing, Douglas. Expect no mercy because I'll pass the next ECW World Heavyweight Champion. Beat me if you can. Survive.
Steven Prazak, I'm in front of Taz's dressing room, and I've been here for what seems like hours in order to get a comment from Taz on his first ever title shot for the recognized ECW World title, and he's finally begrudgingly let us in to the room. But Taz, this is your first shot ever for the world title held by Shane Douglas. Well, what do you say? Tonight's the night.
Tonight's the night. Yeah, okay, good. You're another rocket scientist, so tonight's the night, okay. Yeah, what do you sell, toothpicks for a living, you schmuck? Tonight's the night. Okay, what?
Well, you know, it's Shane Douglas. It's a...
Yeah, it's Shane Douglas. No, it's just another match, and he's going to be just another victim. Camera, Taz, we don't need you. Douglas, tonight's the night. I'm predicting it. The next world ECW heavyweight champion franchise. Beat me if you can. Survive if I let you.
If I let you.
Man who lost Triple H on SmackDown for his big shot.
I'm very upset that I missed his entry in the Garden when he fought Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
I was pissed I couldn't go to that.
What, he beat him in like 13 seconds?
Yeah, Kurt Angle called him out and the fucking place went bananas. We're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks live, rantemradio.com. As always, a Shining Wizards Network production. Big things going on over there, too. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, rantemradio.com, geekliferadio.com. All that happy horse shit. All right. 20 people. What did I miss here? I went downstairs for a, you know, for a snack and something to drink.
It's our biggest turnout yet in the chat room.
Will wants to know what my favorite some of my favorite Taz matches. Obviously this one, for obvious reasons, because he won the belt. Him and Sabu with Bayley Legal. I liked when he tapped out Paul Vollins, that big doofy MMA guy. That was pretty cool. When he fought,
I like when he defeated Brackus.
Brackus, yep. Him and Bam Bam when they went through the ring. When he fought Yoshihiro Tajiri on pay-per-view, and he choked him out with the barbed wire.
Mm.
Yeah, that was cool. A lot of good Taz matches. Taz and the Steiners. I saw that at DCW Arena against Too Cold Scorpio, Benoit, Malenko. There's a lot of
Wait, did you just say the double tables match?
No. It was a double tables match. Six-man tag. Taz had hurt his neck.
Oh, my bad. I was thinking about the
No. He brought Taz. They hurt Taz's neck. They did the spike pile driver on him and he broke his neck.
Yeah.
And he brought back the Steiners to help him. So it was them and the Steiners against Benoit, Malenko, and Too Cold Scorpio.
One of my favorite Taz matches is when him and Sabu lost the World Tag Team Championship to Benoit Malenko.
Yeah, when Benoit Malenko with a triple threat. And he was also tag team champion with Kevin Sullivan, I think, when he was a Tasmaniac.
I also liked the rematch for that match, which included the... who was it? It was Malenko, Benoit, with... I want to say it was Sabu and Taz. If it wasn't Sabu and Taz, it was like Sabu and Rick Steiner. And there was like some other team thrown into the fray. And it was like the first ever three-way dance.
Yeah.
That match was insanely good.
I forget if he was TV champ or not at this point, but he fought Jericho too. And he fucking made Jericho tap out. That was fun.
You know, what was it? I was looking on the network. There was like a Jericho versus Cactus Jack match on ECW. I don't even remember that.
I was at Cactus's debut in ECW.
Nice.
And I was also at his departure, unfortunately. Like, please don't go. Please don't go. And they were chanting Mankind. But, ECW was something special. And I'm biased because I went there all the time. And, you know, I tell people from other places that, you know, I know you've seen it on TV and I know you have the DVDs and the videos, but unless you saw it live, unless you experienced it, you really, really didn't see ECW. And I can't say that about every other promotion because it had a different feel to it. It had a cult following.
Yeah. It was just one of these once-in-a-lifetime things. You know, unfortunately, I never got to go to a show, but I watched the television show religiously. And I've seen some of the pay-per-views, you know, when they originally aired. And literally, like, there was, like, almost nothing that that company could do wrong. Like, I think, like, the only wrestler that I ever legitimately hated while watching ECW was just incredible. Aww. And that was because, like, I, you know, everybody knew that he was Aldo Montoya.
Nah, I love so, incredible.
But at the same time, that was like a genius play on Paul Heyman's part, because how the fuck else are you going to get, you know, the fans to hate a heel other than, you know, taking a fucking jobber from the WWF and having him run shit and win the World Heavyweight title? Not only did he win the World Heavyweight title, but he defeated Tommy Dreamer for his like first ECW title reign, like literally right after the guy won the belt.
Yeah.
What a hell of a way to win the title and just piss off the fans.
Yeah. Shane wants to know if I have any old merch. I do. I have some old shirts in storage. I know I posted some old, I showed Dave this too when he was here a few times. I have some old programs from the arena. You remember I told you those. And I also have, great story. I was at the arena one night, and we were staying at the DoubleTree at the time, which was right across the street from the old Veteran Stadium where the Philadelphia Phillies used to play, now at Citizens Bank Park. And the DoubleTree was a classy establishment, probably still is. I haven't been there since, but it's a classy hotel. We got a really decent rate on it, and what
we, free HBO.
What we didn't know was that
it was the free Playboy Channel.
No, well, no, not that. That this where the wrestler stayed. Wasn't aware of that until that night, and I'll get into that in a second. So I'm at the arena, and I think I told you the story before. I don't know if I told him. I know Tank knows the story, because I had called Tank the next day after it happened when I got home. But the Rangers had just won the Stanley Cup a little while before that, and I was wearing my gear, and I was getting heckled by these two jerk-off Flyer fans who were drinking a lot. And if you guys don't know what ECW...
That's usually how it starts.
This is before the arena got renovated. You can barely hold about 600 people. So I'm getting, like, all night. Like, fuck you, fuck the Rangers, fuck New York, blah, 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 blah. So finally, around 10 o'clock, I turn around to the guy. I pull out my room key, and I said, listen, jerk off. I could probably beat up you and your fucking toothless friend, but I can't beat up 600 of you. Leave me the fuck alone. Or if you want some more, here's my room key. I'm staying at the DoubleTree. Come over to the DoubleTree, and I'll give you a fucking beating there. And the guy just got, he freaked out, you know. So the guys just did, his friend took him away and pulled him away, rightfully so, because I would have knocked the rest of his teeth out, the three that he had left. And I get back to the room, and three of my buddies are with me, and there's a hubbub in the lobby, and it was, I believe it was Jim Molino and somebody else, and I saw Jim, but I didn't see who else was with him. I'm like, that's fucking cool. Now, that night, one of the matches were Public Enemy, and Stevie Richards was involved, and they put Stevie Richards through two tables. One was flaming, right? And this is funny. So at the end of the match, they brought everybody in to dance with them, the Public Enemy. So they set Stevie Richards on fire. They break these tables. They invite everybody in the ring. We all jump in, and we're all dancing, being silly. And the ring collapses. And twice, actually. The one you see on TV is not the one that I was in. The ring did collapse one other time, but this wasn't they didn't put it on the TV. So that's a fun fact, too, people didn't know.
On the TV.
Right, on the TV. Because when you went to an ECW event, 4 weeks of television were on one card, from one card.
Yeah.
So if you were at the event, you saw yourself for a month on TV, which is pretty cool. So at the bottom of the where the guardrail was, there was a pieces of the table. So I pick one up, and I go back to my room. The next day, we're checking out, and I see a beat-up fucking Eldorado Cadillac pull up to get a checkout. And it's Johnny Grunge, with his girlfriend. So now I got my Public Enemy shirt on. I got a duffel bag, and I had the piece of wood was sticking out of the bag because I didn't have the room for it. And Johnny sees the shirt. He goes, "Hey, what's up?" I'm like, "Hey, what's going on?" He goes, "You at the show last night?" I'm like, "Yeah, man, great stuff. You guys are fucking awesome." He goes, "Yeah, yeah." He goes, "I hate those fucking gangsters." So it's because gangsters were involved too. Apparently, I forgot the whole
angle. Well, the whole deal with the Public Enemy coming back was because the gangsters were calling them out.
Right. So we're talking, and as we're talking, Rocco Rock, rest in peace. So Johnny Grunge, rest in peace too. Rocco Rock comes in. And he goes, "Hey, Rock." He goes, "Check this out. It's a piece of the table from last night." So Rocco goes, "You took it?" I'm like, "Well, yeah. I was shaking my ass in the ring with you guys, and I saw it." And he starts laughing. I said, you shaking your ass? I'm like, "Yeah." I did a little fucking two-step for him. They were laughing. Doubletree gives out cookies. You know, I was like, you know, "I'll dance for a cookie." And the guy starts laughing because, you know, you're a fat fuck. You already had your cookie. I'm like, "All right." So I'm dancing, and they took a Sharpie, and they signed my my table. So I have a piece of the table signed.
They signed your wood?
Yeah, they signed my wood.
That was gross.
Yeah, they signed my wood. Hello. That's my ECW story. All right.
Are we going to get to the pay-per-view?
Yes, fucko. I had a story. They asked about merch, and I...
They signed your wood.
They signed my wood, so I gave the guys a story, you know? I like to tell stories. It's the whole reason why I started this podcast.
And you danced for a cookie.
And I danced for a cookie.
Or several cookies, probably.
Listen, don't judge me, asshole, okay?
I didn't judge you.
Don't you judge me, Mega Powers. If I want fucking... If I want cookies, I'm going to have cookies, all right? All right.
You're sure as hell going to dance for him.
Goddamn right I am. January 10th, 1999, from the Millennium Theater in Kissimmee, Florida, right outside of Orlando. Shout out to Tony C.
When the Mule Club shirt's coming out.
Shout out to Tony C. Winter Garden. That's his area over there. ECW presents Guilty as Charged, 1999. 2600 paid. This was the last event before they went bankrupt. Okay. And it was...
Wait, I thought there was...
the last pay...
I thought Guilty Charge 2001 was the last show.
No, this is their last pay-per-view before they went bankrupt.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So. Where am I? Here am I. Here's my notes. Thank you very much. You had 7 matches altogether. As you heard the promos, this was a back-and-forth thing. It started, and I couldn't get the audio for it, where Douglas was up in the gorilla position with Joey Styles, and he's like, "You know, I already fought my match, Taz," and he's like shit talking. Taz is like, "You know what? If I can make you tap in less than whatever it was, you know, 3 minutes, five minutes.
Or,
yeah." And he did.
Beat him in 3 minutes.
He did, and that started the whole feud. The whole FTW title was funny because he purposely had Sabu pin him, Taz, so he can go after the fucking world title. So that was pretty cool. Again, ECW, very innovative, cutting edge, and characters all over the top. And it got over like Rover because up until this...
There was nothing like it.
No. And
nothing like it.
No,
like...
and it was... You know what? And again, I keep repeating myself, but you had to have been there to experience it. And I know I'm going to, you know, guys are like, "Well, I was in fucking Nova Scotia. I couldn't, you know," but I understand that. And I'm not trying to, you know, knock where you're from, but it was, you know, it's kind of the same thing if you were, I don't know, if you were following a band back in the day. Like, you know, I talked to these awful hippies when they were deadheads, you know.
And it's like when you heard, you know, I know you're a big Ozzy fan. It's like when you heard Ozzy for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, whoa, what the fuck is this?
Right, that was Black Sabbath, man.
Yeah, and for ECW, there was, you know, now there's like, you know, shades of that in like everything. It's ingrained in every piece of wrestling at this point. But back then, like, you didn't really see, like, you know, these real, like, grudge matches. Like, whenever I heard the phrase grudge match, you know, it was always for like some sort of shitty feud with like Big Bubba Rogers or something going against Shark or whatever.
Right.
You know, it was never really like a real grudge match, like Sabu and Taz and stuff like that. You know, it seemed like there was a lot more on the line than, you know, just winning a belt. It was a lot about pride and being the best, you know,
right,
in their sport, in their company. And, you know, winning mattered. And, you know, one of the things that was really unique was that, like, almost every match, like, had no count out, had no disqualification, and guys just did whatever they needed to do to win the match. And, you know, like I've said many times on this show, you know, it was just something that people were ready for. You know, people were tired of, you know, disqualification finishes or count out finishes where, you know, the champion would run away and, you know, there was never really like a clear cut winner for a match. You know, ECW changed that. You know, they focused mainly on like guys winning a match either by pinfall or submission. And, you know, whether weapons were involved or it was like a completely scientific wrestling match, you know, you got a clear winner. And the feud perpetuated regardless of who won or lost. And but when somebody won, it meant something. It was a big deal.
The climate, too, in sports entertainment was changing drastically. It was, we're almost ready for the new millennium at this point. The Monday Night Wars have pretty much subsided. Raw was destroying Nitro at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jericho was
what was it? I wanted to throw this out there. You know, I remember it was either King of the Ring 95 or SummerSlam 95, like they had in Philadelphia. It was one of the shittiest moments in WWF history. Like, Diesel was the champion. I believe he was going against King Mabel. As much as we love him, we know that wasn't, you know, a great time for wrestling for WWF. And people were chanting ECW throughout that entire show.
Anything local, they were chanting ECW.
Yeah.
I remember going to a Nitro in Philly in 1997. And they were chanting. I mean, like, they were just, it was crazy. It was crazy. All right. So, you know, at this point, it's coming to an end, but this was one of the it was my sister's birthday too. It's why I like the date too, January 10th. My sister Nat, but this card I thought was, you know, even them going out the way they did, I thought that this was a decent card considering. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let me see here. All right. So, your first match of the evening was it didn't start out as a three-way dance. It was supposed to be the FBI fighting.
It started off as a homosexual dance party, according to Axel Rotten.
Right, yeah. It was supposed to be the FBI versus Danny Doring and Angry Amish Roadkill, the two graduates of the House of Hardcore Wrestling School that Taz had in Massapequa. I think it was him, Doring, Amish Roadkill, and I think Chris Chetty were the only three graduates. I'm not sure if I'm wrong about that, guys, correct me, but I think there was only three.
Yeah.
And of course, the hardcore chair swinging freaks, Axel Rotten, Balls Mahoney. Dave mentions that that Axel says homosexual. What did he say? It was a homosexual what?
Homosexual dance party, because, right, you know, they were starting the match out. You know, it was the feeling out process. Nothing was really happening. And Tracy Smothers, you know, being Italian as he is, you know, starts dancing. And, you know, the big Don Tommy Rich, which was hilarious. I love how, like, the FBI only had, like, a few, like, actual Italian guys.
Well, yeah, they had little Guido that at one point. They had Tony Mamaluke. They had Big Sal. I don't even know if Big Sal was Italian. But,
Well, do you remember who the guy was that started the FBI?
Of course, it was J.T. Smith.
A black man who, you know, discovering his Italian roots. Luckily took a t-shirt, a crappy t-shirt name, and made it an awesome, stable in ECW.
Right. So, I mean, nothing really to write home about in this match. It was just pretty much, you know, kick punch.
It was just
vicious
attack of three teams killing each other. You know, one thing I want to mention, especially at this time, usually the first match always involved a tag match with the FBI or, you know, the Angry Amish Chicken Plucker Roadkill with Danny Doring. And they were like, a lot of times they would be like the best match on the card, for me at least, at that time.
It was funny because I couldn't convert the two audio, but there was a promo right before the pay-per-view, a couple of weeks prior, Robert Gibson was in the locker room, and Danny Doring and Roadkill confronted him, and Doring's like, "You're my dad. You know, you and Ricky tag-team my mom at a Denny's back in the day," and it was pretty funny shit. And then, like, Robert Gibson's like, "What are you talking about? You're my dad. I can't believe this." Like, Danny Doring is totally Danny Doring was a good character.
Yeah.
And he was like, he was so into it. He's like, you're the best. He kept hugging him. Like, "I can't believe this. I'm finally getting to meet you, Dad." He's like, he's hugging him. And then all of a sudden, like, at the end, he walks away. And then Roadkill puts his hand out. And then he goes, "Chickens." And he does like,
yeah. Well, that was like his big thing. That was like, his big just thing. Said, that was the only word that he said.
Right, exactly.
Was chickens. And these guys were specifically Doring and Roadkill. They were insanely over.
Yes.
I can't, but, you know, explain, like, how over these guys were. You know, keep in mind, you know, nowadays, if these guys were to come around, it'd be like, all right, it looks like just, like, another tag team from fucking New Jersey doing some shit gimmick, you know? But these guys were, like, insanely over, especially Roadkill.
Yeah, but you know who was really over?
Who?
Tommy Rich.
Yeah.
Tommy Rich was so funny, was on point, and he played the gimmick so well.
And he had his face on the flag, the Italian flag.
Yeah, it was great shit, man. Great shit.
Yeah, that stuff was hilarious. Where did they say he was from? Like Nashville, Italy or something? Nashville, like,
yeah, him and Trace Smothers.
Yeah. And what was it? I remember Tommy Rich had a match with Terry Funk, and, you know, all the ECW fans are smart fans, and they were, like, constantly bringing up how he's fucking sucked dick to get the NWA championship off of Harley Race. So I'm sure, you know, like, just the fact that the guy was, like, into the gimmick, like, that much and just didn't give a shit was perfect.
So the hardcore chair swinging freaks pick up the win at 10 minutes and 43 seconds.
With a Nutcracker Suite and a, Axel's finishing move?
I forget.
The severe skull trauma.
That's it. Your next match, one of my favorites of all time.
Wait a second. You're skipping over the Terry Funk story.
Oh, yeah. You want to get into Terry Funk, Ed? Go into Terry.
I think it's funny because he tells this story like in every promotion that he's in.
Oh, yes.
It always changes. Like, it was funny. Somebody sent me, literally, I was watching this pay-per-view on Sunday. And a friend of mine was telling me the he sent me like a promo of Terry Funk doing the same story in WCW to Jim Ross, and he switches it up to you know his daddy had a jackass and he loved him so much, but he like shot him in the back of the head. But what was it in this story? He fucking talks about like, oh, like, hey, son, you know, this fucking jackass kicked me in the nuts. I want you to go to the kitchen and get me a knife. Terry Funk goes back and gets the knife and gives it to Dory Sr. And he slits the throat of this jackass and says, "Revenge is a bitch," because Tommy Dreamer picked that no good Jake the Snake Roberts as his mystery partner over him.
Yep.
And if you all know, early in Tommy Dreamer's ECW run, his mentor was always Terry Funk.
And Terry's like, "I treated you like a son. How could you do this? Blah, 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 blah." All right. But that's like the 15th time he told that story. I totally forgot about that thing.
Yeah, like every promotion that he's in, wherever he goes, he either tells that story or he tells the, you know what you get when you have an idiot screw another idiot? You get another goddamn idiot.
Your next match, a great match, one of my favorites. Honestly, to be perfectly honest with you, every time these two guys fought, it was the same spots, but I didn't care.
Yeah.
Because they told a good story in the ring. Yoshihiro Tajiri, a young Yoshihiro Tajiri. I think this is his debut, I think.
Yeah, I believe it was his ECW debut. Yeah. He had yet to become the human buzzsaw at that moment.
Right, and he fought Super Crazy, legit crazy. Like, that guy, his spots were insane. Because, like, stuff that's being done now, he started some of that stuff, but the risk-taking at that point was too, like, at times over the top, I thought.
But it was kind of like, you know, it was very clear that, you know, everybody was trying to top the match before them. And these guys just kind of like went to, the pun, extreme levels to get across at how fucking crazy that they were.
Right.
And that this was ECW, and they were guilty as charged for being extreme.
It's true. It's true. I mean, Tajiri was amazing. Super Crazy doing his somersaults and moonsaults outside the ring.
There was a suicide somersault plancha onto the concrete.
Onto the concrete. Now,
and fucking Super Crazy did that, and he landed on his back and then gets up like it was nothing.
Guys, you can't do that now. And most of the ringside areas now are padded.
Yeah. There was no padding. There was nothing. It was just concrete floor.
We mentioned a few times that back in the day, a lot of the different states, their state athletic commission didn't require wrestling.
Which is funny, because why wouldn't you just put down a mat anyway?
Right, just for, you know, just not, God forbid ECW did that.
Yeah, God forbid, you know, somebody cracked their fucking skull on the concrete and brain matter just oozed out.
All right, so.
But this was a very Lucha-inspired match.
Absolutely. Both guys with a Lucha background. Tajiri, where, you know, like Dave mentioned, this is his debut, gets the win. Almost went 12 minutes. I mean, it was a good match.
There was some really insane near falls towards the end.
Again, I can pretty much show you this match on three different tapes or DVDs I have. Uh-huh. Same spots. It's the only thing that switches is the finish.
Yeah.
Same spots. And I didn't care.
And they had the classic three-way with Little Guido.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
On the road, yeah.
That was fantastic. All right.
They had several of those matches, too.
They did.
On multiple pay-per-views.
Your next match really wasn't really a match. John Cronus comes out, formerly of the Eliminators. At this point, this was the end of his run. With the promotion, because at this point Perry Saturn was already in WCW, WWF.
He was playing the crazy gimmick.
Yeah, John Cronus always played the crazy gimmick. John Cronus, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Jeff Jones, Judge Jeff Jones, former referee, now turned manager.
He was claiming that Bill Clinton was guilty.
Bill Clinton was guilty. Everybody's guilty.
Claimed O.J. Simpson was guilty as charged.
Everybody was guilty as charged.
Because that was the name of the pay-per-view.
That's right. But he has the guy. He's going to bring in somebody who's going to right all the wrongs. That's going to bring justice to ECW.
I wonder what that alludes to.
Obviously. Calls out the big man, Sid Vicious. Sid comes out. Crowd goes crazy. They pop like mad. Joey Styles goes crazy. Brings Sid Vicious in. Starts jaw-jacking with Cronus. That didn't last very long.
Because he fucking chokeslammed him through a goddamn table on the outside.
He picks up John Cronus and throws him.
Over the top rope.
Yeah, dude, he didn't chokeslam him. He picked him up by his neck and, like, a chokeslam is pick up and go right straight down. No, he didn't do that. He picked up Cronus by his neck, and that's 270 pounds of man.
Yeah,
and pretty much tossed him over the top rope onto a table on the outside.
And that wasn't the end of the match.
No.
It continued on. He just beat the fuck out of him.
For a minute and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Right.
Several chair shots to the back, and then finally gave the audience what they wanted.
Powerbomb.
The powerbomb.
Gets the powerbomb, gets the win, and not even Jeff Jones can control Sid Vicious. Sid looks like he's going after Judge Jeff Jones. Doesn't happen. They walk off, and now...
And Sid wasn't even in ECW for that long.
No, a lot of guys were pay per, you know...
performance.
Yeah, pay per performance, like, you know, per diem guys, as we call them in EMS.
And then I'm pretty sure he went to. He didn't go to WWF after.
No,
that.
He went to WCW and broke his leg after that. Remember that?
Yeah. He went back. He was WCW
Scott
champion.
Steiner. Yeah, and he broke. He had that awful leg accident. Just don't give him any. Yeah. Don't give him any scissors.
Jumped off the second rope.
Right, and don't put him. And don't give him any. Don't put him in any hotel rooms with Arn Anderson.
Oh God.
All right.
I'll come back with a squeegee.
You got it. Your next match. The Dudley Boys with Joel Gertner, Big Dick Dudley, and Sign Guy Dudley. Joel does one of his famous, you know, opening wells. Really good, Joel. You know, of course.
Well.
That's right.
Full condom filler that tastes like vanilla.
Yep. Joel Gertner.
Yeah, he had the best intros ever. Like,
what was your favorite? I know mine, but what was your favorite?
Offhand, I don't know because I really haven't watched a lot of these events in a long time. Because there was, like, whenever he got, like, really dirty, that was just kind of like, whoa, how far is this guy going to go? And the Dudley's intro, especially with him at the helm, like, they were so long. They were, like, over 10-minute long intros for these guys. But a lot of people wanted to hear the intros more than they wanted to see the match.
They got so much heat, man. The Dudleys were heat seekers. They
started shit with the fans.
Sort of like what you do with our fans. But they almost incite riots, especially here locally in New York. They went bananas, but
They got up in people's faces. They had no shame.
Yeah, calling out people. Heels. Yeah, people got tossed out for, like, Bubba would call people out. And guys would jump over the guardrail to punch him in his face, and security Atlas would be all over that, taking the guys out.
Yeah, I remember there was one dude, I think it was the show that we covered last January, where one of the fans, like, jumped from the balcony.
Yeah, yep, that's right.
Come down.
Yep, that's right. My favorite Joel Gertner pun is, Joel, just like the Rubik's Cube, the longer you play with me, the harder I get. Gertner, that to me is my favorite. That's
I'm gonna use that line at work tomorrow.
That's my favorite. I've actually used that line, so thank you, Joel Gertner, for getting me lead. All right, Dudley Boys with Joel Gertner, Big Dick, rest in peace, Sign Guy Dudley. I love Sign Guy Dudley. The silence behind the violence.
And he was your marketing guy or something?
Yeah, right? Yeah, he was behind the scenes administrator guy. Facing the team of New Jack and Spike Dudley.
And Spike Dudley was dressed up like New Jack.
Yeah.
And this was actually one of the matches that had to be switched around, right?
Yeah, because someone got hurt, I believe.
Yeah, Jerry Lynn's pelvis was, like, shattered and it wasn't completely healed.
Right.
So he was supposed to be facing RVD.
Right.
And Masato Tanaka was not coming. Masato Tanaka was supposed to face RVD.
Right.
But Jerry Lynn also wasn't available. I don't know if he was supposed to be in this match or what. But there was a bunch of changes that were going on. This is one of the matches that got changed.
Right. But Paul Lee announced it in the beginning. He
said that he was not going to bullshit any of us.
That's right.
And for quality wrestling, they were guilty as charged.
That's right.
Which they said, like, throughout the entire fucking pay-per-view.
Yeah, well, this is the end, and they were trying to get this point across, obviously. So, I wasn't a big fan of New Jack. I did like his promos with the gangsters. Other than that, I wasn't a big fan of his work. I mean, he took a lot of crazy risks that I enjoyed. So, he definitely entertained me every time I saw him. So, just wasn't a fan of his. Spike Dudley was a guy that just looked like he was never supposed to be around, and he just hung around and did his thing, and put himself.
I remember what was it? The very first Beyond show that I did was at the Top Rope Productions promotion. Where the fuck was it? Was it in Massachusetts? I believe it was in Massachusetts. And what's it called? It was the school that Spike Dudley started at.
Yeah, it wasn't Killer Kowalski School, was it?
No, that's in New England.
Right. Massachusetts is in New England, dude.
Well,
unless it changed.
My bad. I'm
unless it changed, then I forgot.
Well, it's not specifically in New England.
Okay.
So anyway, but what was it when I was, waiting to do the camera work and stuff, I'm just looking around because the place looks like, it looks like this like warehouse that you would watch, a horror movie and some sort of homicidal maniac would come through the wall and kill somebody. It looked like one of those kind of places. And when we got to where the ring was, I guess where they do like the training and stuff, there was like a photo of Spike Dudley when he was, a rookie. And I forgot what the precise name was, but it was like handsome and charming, Spike Dudley or whatever like his real name was that he was going under.
He was a math teacher, wasn't he? He was some kind of teacher before he became a wrestler.
Something like that. But like the whatever gimmick that he started off with, this 8x10 of him was so corny looking. But like from coming from that place to where he is now, it was a bit from what I saw just from looking at that old 8x10. It was a big shift for that dude's career. And who would have thought like him just being a Dudley would get him over like that?
Well, this was just 10 minutes of gimmick, hardcore weapons and, everybody gets the bleed and everybody gets, of course, at one point Spike gets tossed into the second row.
Twice.
Yeah. Bam Bam Bigelow did it to him. Bubba did it to him.
And so Bubba had to do it to him. I wonder how the fans reacted to that by having a wrestler thrown at them.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure on the ticket, because I remember at the ROH shows, when I first started going to more, indie shows, it would say on the ticket, more or less, like paraphrasing, if he got hurt, like, tough shit.
Hey, speaking of Ring of Honor, getting off topic real quick, congrats to our boy, the Dirty Daddy.
Who needs to get on the fucking show.
Yeah, what a fucking douche. And I'm calling you out, Dickinson, all right? You fucking live down the block, asshole. Come visit.
He goes to the gym down the block.
Literally down the block from my house. So do the right thing, all right? You and your fucking half-shaved head friend. Come back. I'm calling you out, bitches. Calling you out. Come visit the Decadome, man. I got snacks. I'll fucking... Dave's got fucking t-shirt for you that I'm probably going to give to fucking... What do you call it? I'm probably going to give it away if he doesn't show up.
To some kid.
I'm going to give it away. Maybe I'll give it...
Some crying kid.
Yeah, so...
Listening to our show.
All joking aside, Chris, we love you.
Some crying kid that's listening to Will.i.am's show.
All joking aside, though, Chris, congratulations on getting on a Ring of Honor show.
It's about time.
All joking aside, Chris is a really good talent. I'm happy for him. He's a local guy. I'm proud to say we're pals now and shit. So I'm happy for him, man. I hope he goes well. I hope it all goes well for him. All right. So this is just 10 minutes of nonsense.
Yeah, just them beating the fuck out of each other with Tupac and somebody else doing West Coast Killers.
Dude, Natural Born Killers is a great song.
Natural Born Killers, my bad.
Right, but when you play it for 15 minutes, that's why I hate Enter Sandman. I hate that song. I hate The Undertaker. It's like the longest fucking entrance in history.
I like the Sandman's entrance with Metallica.
The best is my kid hears the original, right? And we're in the car. It was on a satellite, and he's in the backseat. He goes, "Hey, doesn't Lemmy sing this?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Well, yeah, Lemmy sing. This is Lemmy's song." I'm like, no, because he has the ECW CD. I said, "No, buddy, it's Lemmy covers this song. It's Metallica's song." He goes, "Oh, I like Lemmy's better." He says. So anyway, this is
the Motorhead's version is better.
Okay, well, you and Mikey agree then.
Yeah.
All right. Your next match for the ECW World Television Championship. Champion, Mr. Monday Night, the whole fucking show. Rob Van Dam with cutting it right down the middle, Mr. Bill Alfonso. Fighting, can I be serious for a moment there, Lance Storm with the then delicious looking Dawn Marie. This was a decent match. I enjoyed this match. I mean, Van Dam really really didn't do anything wrong in ECW, in my opinion. I mean, he had the longest run as champion with the television belt. The tag team of him and Sabu were pretty cool.
They were unstoppable.
At one point, they were. They were unstoppable.
They won. It didn't matter who got thrown at them. They beat their fucking ass. And the only way that the Dudleys even got those World Tag Team titles were because they defeated Rob Van Dam on his own.
Right. Because Sabu couldn't compete. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were unstoppable. They were one of my – I mean, they. You know what? Do you want to say they were very underrated because they really didn't get a lot of fanfare? Because of
where I agree that they gelled well as a team. It was Rob Van Dam's first real feud in ECW was against Sabu, and you know these guys you know had a lot of history together. You know there was that love hate relationship between both guys. You know which led to you know they had the matter of respect match.
Yep.
You know, they had the stretcher match. You know, they had a big story, you know, between each other, and you know, really made sense for you know why these guys were a tag team. The fact that they kept winning and they were still kind of like at odds with one another because of Rob Van Dam's huge ego. So yeah, I do feel that they were a very underrated tag team in. In not just in ECW, but just in general.
Yeah. But Lance Storm, another guy who, you know, you would think wouldn't fit the mold in ECW, but comes in, does a bang-up job, even as a heel at one point when he was in the triple threat. He really wasn't a heel. He just didn't belong, but he was a, you know, it was always looking like he was out of place, but always performed well. I'm a huge fan of Lance Storm and his future tag team partner, just incredible. They were the Impact Players. No, I guess, I don't know. I didn't
his
take...
His namesake.
Yeah, my namesake, I guess, I did it as a play on my last name. It just happens to be the name of the tag team. So I'm sure if I presented it to PJ, he wouldn't mind, you know, that I told him that. I mean, he knows I use it because he knows we're on the same network, so... So whether he listens or not, I'm sure if he had a problem with it, he would say something to me. But
yeah,
I don't think he does. So anyway, all right. So the match was good. I mean, they fought before. This wasn't all these guys pretty much fought except for Taz and Shane Douglas. Almost every other guy here, well, Sid Vicious too. All these guys had fought each other in other spots. So it wasn't a thing where this is it was a good match. Almost went 20 minutes. Really, 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 really good match.
Yeah.
Don't
I don't have too many notes for this. It was just like a really just great...
Yeah, chain wrestling. It wasn't out of the... You know, I mean, you know, it was a thing where Van Damme got his spots. Storm got his near falls. You know what I'm saying? It was good. It was solid. Good, really good chain wrestling. You know, wasn't, you know... It is what it is.
Yeah.
Your next match was a Stairway to Hell match. I guess it's just a ladder match.
It was a Singapore cane above the ring, and they had to use the ladders to get up there and get the Singapore cane to use it.
Just incredible with Jason, the sexiest man alive. Get well soon. Jazz, if you remember her.
So wait, is Jason now the sexiest man with lung cancer?
You know what?
Throat cancer?
Yeah, I guess so. He's the sexiest man alive with throat cancer. So get well, Jason. We're praying for you.
So get better. We want you just as the sexiest man alive.
Yeah, we don't want you with the big casino, man. We want you just to be sexy.
Yeah.
All right.
Sexy, Jason.
That's right. Jason.
Hey, cancer free.
Yeah, please. I hate cancer, man. Jason, Jazz, and Queen's own Nicole Bass.
And Jazz.
Yeah, and Jazz against Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer is, I don't want to say he's like a myth, not a myth, but he's like the unsung hero all the time in ECW because the guy rarely won. Even when he wasn't involved with Raven, because Raven always beat him for like years until that one match and you know, that was it. but he never really won a lot. If you look at his win-loss record in ECW...
There's more losses than wins.
Tons more losses. But that was the appeal.
That's what he wanted.
Right. That's what the appeal of Tommy Dreamer. He was...
He wanted to lose all the time because that, like, first of all, the guy's like a huge wrestling historian. He knows the ins and outs of this sport. And, you know, that's why that guy's character was so successful as a face. Because, you know, he knew, you know, especially in an atmosphere like ECW, you know, when he was doing the suspenders, like, he was not getting over. Nobody gave two craps about him until the Sandman started, you know, until he lost the Singapore Cane match to the Sandman. And Sandman was beating the holy hell out of him with the Singapore Cane. And, you know, he responded back with, you know, thank you, sir. Can I have another?
Yeah.
And from there, you know, he realized, like, hey, he was getting the fans' respect from doing that.
Yeah, Sugar Shane.
He got more respect from losing than from winning.
Yeah, Sugar Shane just said the same thing. He said he didn't give a shit for the better of the company, Phil. Right. I just feel like every time he was implemented in a big story, the more he lost, the more in love the crowd was. The fans were in love with him. So
yeah.
So, decent match. This match also went over almost 20 minutes. Again, Tommy Dreamer putting the young kid over.
You know, and there was a lot of sick bumps here too.
Yeah, a lot of sick bumps. A lot of near misses.
There's a friggin' electric chair drop face first onto the ladder by Tommy Dreamer.
Tommy Dreamer. You know what? Another thing, too, about Dreamer, he was very underrated. They call him the innovator of violence, but Tommy Dreamer was pretty sound in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't really – he was known for the hardcore shit, but he – like, throwing shit like that, that was cool.
Yeah.
Justin Credible, I've always been a fan of Justin Credible, not because we know him now, but I thought his run in ECW as champion – was one of their better runs. I thought, you know, and you're talking about guys like, you know, Sabu and guys like the Sandman and Shane Douglas and Taz, and Steve Corino was a good champion, even though the promotion was shit at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought Justin Credible, he was a better tag team wrestler with the Impact Players, but I thought his singles run was really good too. I enjoyed Justin Credible. I know you're not a big fan, but I enjoyed his work, and this was a good match. So
yeah,
and that brings us to the main event. And I played the promo in Queens. I played Taz's promo in the locker room. I'm sorry about the bad audio, but that wasn't me. That was the audio itself. Somebody called it ghetto, I think, in the chat room. Because it came out of one speaker. Listen, this is not fucking Sirius XM, you know? I mean, this is my bedroom. One of my bedrooms, anyway. It's in my man cave. I don't have a gazillion-dollar equipment, but I try to get by. I try to entertain you guys, and if it came out of one speaker for a minute and 30 seconds, I apologize. Mm. I'll try to do diligence next time. But the franchise... The leader of the triple threat. One of the best talkers in the ring ever.
And this man had a lot of work to do because he came back from the WWF.
Oh, yeah.
As Dean Douglas and had to come back to ECW with a vengeance.
Yeah.
To prove that, you know, his run in the WWF, you know, wasn't going to soften him up. And this guy still had some, you know, fire in the tank to really show that. He was extreme.
And he had an elbow injury, too, at that point. He had injured his elbow,
He was injured a lot at this point.
Yeah, I think it was against... was it against the Pitbull? One of the Pitbulls at that point? I forget where he injured his elbow. Maybe the chat room can help me. I forget, but... it was... Shane Douglas defending the ECW World Heavyweight Championship against the Human Suplex Machine from Red Hook section of Brooklyn. Born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens... Went to the same high school as your boy right here, Philly Raya. Taz. That's right. And nothing short of brilliant. These guys told a really good story in the ring the last couple of months. Shit talking, promos. Douglas at this point had Chris Candido and Big Bam Bam Bigelow as the triple threat. No matter what version of triple threat you had, he always surrounded himself with really good talent. There was not, even Brian Lee was decent. Guys that rotated in the triple threat were nothing short of good wrestlers. Most of them were good talkers and really, really sound in the ring. So, the build-up was great. This was Taz's moment. FTW title no longer mattered to him. Now he wanted to prove that he was the best in the business, best in the world, and he gets to fight the franchise. 22 minutes long this match goes. Douglas threw everything at Taz. Everything. And Taz would not give up. Taz was relentless. Francine looking good as always. I remember Francine before the boob job, kids. She used to come to the arena wearing a Flyers jersey and a pair of spandex, and she was used to help out with the office before she got into the actual ring and started doing ring work with them. But that's pretty much it, man. So you know how this goes. Douglas tries to get in. Taz gets the Taz mission and the tap out.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. You know, I didn't go hole for hold. I mean, this is ECW. It's not, you know, I think the whole thing of it was the story.
Well, wait a second. You're missing something.
What am I missing?
Sabu.
Yes. Get it. Sorry, Dave. I'm sorry.
Sabu. First of all, there's a Tazplex through the table to Shane Douglas.
Yes.
All of a sudden, the lights go off. And that familiar theme song starts playing.
Boom, 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 boom. Da-na-na. Anyway.
And fireworks go off. There's normally never any sort of fireworks at an ECW show ever. And Sabu comes out, pointing to the sky with a neck brace on, charges the ring, attacks both guys, springboard top rope moonsaults, puts Douglas on the table, does a springboard top rope leg drop onto him, puts him through the table. Taz is splashed through a table. Sabu lays down the challenge for the title because Taz broke his neck. And then the match continues as he, you know, Sabu, walks out. Shane Douglas sneaks in, tries to get a pin on him. Two count.
Two.
Douglas calls for the triple threat.
That's right.
But they're not around anymore.
That's right. Nobody's there.
So Francine's in the ring, stirring up shit. And your girl, Tammy Lynn Sitch, comes to the ring.
Makes the save.
Starts a cat fight. And, lays out Douglas. T-bone Tazplex later, and a Taz mission. That's and right. The match is over. Douglas taps out.
The Kata Hachime, the Taz mission. I said that right. I think I said that right.
Yeah. And, one thing that we forgot to mention, too, you know, Tammy Lynn Sitch was there. You know, Lance Storm was kind of feuding with Candido because he had Dawn Marie, who then was known as Tammy Lynn Bitch.
Yeah, well, that was the whole in-house with the triple threat, you know?
Yeah.
After Bam Bams took off. So, and there you have it, kids. DCW's last pay-per-view before they went bankrupt.
Yeah.
Guilty as charged. Wasn't a bad card.
No. Was it Pastor Seidel made a great comment? Can we teach Cena Tommy's gimmick?
Wow. It's a different time, man.
I think it would work for John Cena. If he lost a lot of matches and he had to build his way back up.
You know what, though?
It would work. He would get that face sympathy.
All the time, even though it's 2015?
Yeah, I believe so. Hey, man, first of all, fans are fans of him anyway. And WWE has always booked, has always been face heavy for champions. But for Cena, you know, the guy's done it all. He's done everything. I think it would be interesting if he just lost all the time.
Okay, that's fair. It's a fair assessment.
And he had to earn his wins.
Yeah. Again, and
some stuff pulled under the rug from him.
But a lot better storytelling, though, Dave. A lot in ECW.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't just have Cena go out there on Raw and job to top guys without telling them a good story where, you know, Tommy Dreamer built these guys up.
They should be able to do that.
Yeah, they should. They just don't. They're not exactly.
Especially when their hottest wrestler right now is Sting.
Idiot. I don't have it. Where was I? I'm not even in that fucking screen.
You got to have this ready at all times, Phil.
I'm sorry, man. I gotta get that. What do you call it? I gotta get the that soundboard, man. We're gonna get that soundboard.
Yeah,
eventually, if I sell some shirts. Speaking of t-shirts,
so the best rookie wrestler in WWE right now is Sting.
That's right,
Sting.
All right. Speaking of t-shirts, ProWrestlingTees.com. There are four different styles up there. You got the regular original logo by Dean Stoll. You have the World of Sport logo, the NES parody, and now the New Japan-inspired.
Mm.
So, and I'm not putting no more shirts up there until you bitches stop buying shirts.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Matt, I will play the new Sting one next week. Thank you very much.
I made a mistake.
On what, sir?
Shane Douglas did not tap. They dropped the arm.
Yeah, but he submitted, so.
No, but I wanted to specifically bring that up because you very rarely see people submit by the arm falling down three times.
It's a good match, though. So
yeah, it was a really good match.
I enjoyed it. Are we pulling this train in? Anything else before we go? Or
I'm ready to pull the train in. It's getting late here.
It is getting late here.
I got a new day ahead of me, and I'm not talking about three black guys from WWE.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for putting up my nonsense tonight. I apologize for being almost 40 minutes late. Thank you for everybody who hung out with us tonight. I saw Shining Wizards Tony in there for a while. Everybody else who hung out with us.
We're 20 strong.
Yeah, 20,000.
Yeah.
Don't forget, we got the Ranny Awards January 30th live at 9 p.m. Dave and I are up for a few, so go go vote for that. Shining Wizards, go to ShiningWizards.com. Go to Shining Wizards' Facebook page. They're up for a couple of awards, too. Go vote for them. You got the Rex Plex and the Rant and Wrestling Show tomorrow night. Mr. Will.i.am Morgan returns on Saturday evening at 11 p.m. with the Wrestling Call-In Show. Sunday, the big preview show for the Rumble. Myself, Mega Powers, and Rage in studio with AA and the crew. It's going to be delicious. Delicious, delicious. Yes, thank you for hanging out with us, Will. Really appreciate it. Everybody else, too, man. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, RantEMRadio.com, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. All our stuff is there. Go get it. Stitcher, iTunes, Buzzsprout, Audio Boom, and Geek Life Radio. Anything else, Mr. Mega Powers?
All I got to say is good night and sleep tight.
Guys, have a great... We'll be back next week. We're ending January with a kick-ass throwback for you, WWE style. And then it's Black History Month, Mega Powers.
My favorite month of the year.
That's right. So, on behalf of the Mega Powers, I'm Phil Rea. Bidding you adieu. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Be kind to animals.
And give your mom big old kiss.
My mom is in the hospital right now, actually. She's getting surgery tomorrow, so keep my mom in your prayers. You know, nothing major, but she's in there and she's a little worried. So, Mom, I love you. Get better. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And that's pretty much it. Good night, kids.
Peace.